Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for the weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report, just issuing a ton of market updates and company updates, and also trying to get all of you, the investors, questions answered regarding any of the more small cap companies that you invest in. I'm kicking off this weekend show with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. Joins me on a bi-weekly basis on the show to break down some of the key aspects in terms of data and market moves. This week seems to be all about inflation and that inflation data, the CPI numbers that just blew away estimates. Headline CPI jumped 0.8% month over month. Core rate was up by 0.9%. These are the April numbers. The expectations were 0.2 and 0.3% respectively. The gain in the core rate was the most since 1982. Mike, inflation, at least the data is showing that it's here. Everyone's wondering, is this just transitory? We're not going to know that for at least a few more months. What's your takeaway from that inflation data?
You know, it's funny, I'm listening to your intro there and, looking at this inflation data and thinking about what the Fed's been saying when it comes to transitory and its definition of transitory. And all I could think when I saw the numbers, it's interesting, the word transitory here is supposed to mean temporary, relatively not, unnoteworthy, just sort of a passing thing that doesn't matter. But if you look at the country mile by which the forecasters missed this inflation number, it truly is shocking. I mean, you recounted some of the ways in which this is a multi-year, in some cases, multi-decade shock in terms of the size of this inflation jump, relative to history. And I think that, when you look at other data that we've seen recently, for example, on the employment front, with a lot of evidence that companies just can't find workers, there's job creation missed the mark by quite a large margin as well. There's a lot of suggestion that the Fed really is off target, and frankly, a lot of the mainstream economists are too. The reality is, when you look at how much money has been poured into the markets and the economy on both a monetary and fiscal basis, it's not all that surprising, really, that you're seeing first dramatic asset inflation and now a secondary round of actual real economy inflation. If you look at assets, whether you talk about stocks, whether you talk about risky bonds, commodities, real estate, artwork, high-end booze, sports cards, all this stuff. I mean, we've seen dramatic asset inflation such that here in the U.S., we just had the existing home sales report for March showed the median price of an existing home rose 17% in the month of March from a year ago. We never even saw an increase that big in the height of the housing bubble in the mid-2000s, which pretty much everybody now admits was the biggest housing bubble in U.S. history. So what's going on? Again, you're printing, borrowing, and spending money at a rate that we've basically never seen in peacetime. The only thing that would be kind of a close equivalent to it is what we saw in World War II. Other than that, that's pretty much it. So, for the Fed to sit there and continue to toe the line and talk about everything being transitory and no, this doesn't matter and we're going to stick to our policies and who cares and so on and so forth, they were already looking increasingly out of touch a few months ago, which we've discussed. Now they look like they're just completely out in left field and not being in tune whatsoever with what I think the markets are seeing, what the economy is seeing, what we're all seeing in our daily lives as well.
So do you think that the Fed is going to react to this number, or is the Fed going to wait for 2-3 months, maybe more of a higher inflation print to at least talk the markets in a different direction?
Well, let's start with the numbers themselves. Again, you mentioned the inflation data was so far out of whack with what expectations were, which is exactly what we saw with the employment data not too long before that. It's just, it's going to be a short-term thing. We're going to keep watching. We're going to, we wanted to see higher inflation anyway. We're not going to do anything about it. Yada, yada, yada. And here's the problem. The markets for the last several months have been willing to shake hands with the Federal Reserve for the mutual benefit of everyone. Wall Street wants to get rich. The Fed is helping them get rich. They're throwing a bunch of platitudes out that it's all for Main Street. You know, Main Street, I'm sure, loves nothing more than not being able to afford a house, medical care, or, you know, a car for that matter, because you probably saw used cars were up 10% on a year-over-year basis. But in any event, you know, Wall Street was willing to play along. But now you have a situation where the Fed isn't even, I think we talked about this before, where the Fed has to throw the bond market a bone, has to say, you know, something like a little more vigilance talk, a little more like, okay, all right, these numbers are stronger than even we thought. So maybe, you know, if this continues, we're going to be a little more vigilant. We're going to take some steps to, you know, calm things down and so on. You know, the bond market needs to see that and needs to hear that. Wall Street, increasingly in the wake of these kinds of numbers, is going to want to see that. If the Fed doesn't follow through with something along those lines, we're going to see some of these mini tantrums that we've seen a few times as when the bond market sold off earlier this year. We're going to see that get real ugly real fast. And that's where the Fed is sort of boxed into here. It's got to signal some kind of vigilance. It's got to throw the bond market a bone. Otherwise, we're going to see interest rates continue to rise and start rising potentially sharply again. And that's going to derail this whole asset market party that Wall Street's been enjoying and the Fed's been able to point to and say, hey, we're doing anything wrong. This, you know, we'd see market turmoil. We're not. Well, you know, you're starting to see that. And that tells you that the markets are getting a little more rebellious, if you will.
So an argument being, if inflation starts to run higher, is that the Fed does have tools to calm inflation. Look at how low interest rates already are. Look at how much money they're printing. Do you agree with that statement that the Fed does have tools so that if inflation runs too hot, they will be able to step in and control it?
You know, it's not that the Fed doesn't have tools. It's that the Fed is too weak at the knees to use them. I mean, if you look back at the last cycle, forget COVID for a minute, go back to where we were, you know, 2015, or even all the way back to 2013. You know, Ben Bernanke let a few words slip in Congress about potentially tapering the massive, well, what we thought was a massive amount of QE back then. The markets, our interest rates shot up, stocks went down, and they backtracked and panicked. The Fed then said, no, don't worry. And Janet Yellen didn't start hiking interest rates till all the way in December of 2015. Then in that rate hiking cycle, they only got up to about 2.5%, and they spread those hikes out over a longer period of time than in any modern Fed interest rate hiking cycle in the preceding four decades. I went back and ran all the numbers going back to the late 1970s. So again, that was back then, even before anybody heard of COVID. They were afraid of their own shadow. They pushed their first hike way out into the future, and then their hiking cycle was drawn out even more to the point that they could only get in about 225 basis points of hikes before they gave up and threw in the towel. Now, in the wake of COVID and what's going on here, you have an even more sort of liberal, easy money-minded Federal Reserve that has said, we're going to not only keep interest rates low forever, we're not even thinking about raising them. We're going to keep to this forecast, even if inflation gets above 2%. And yet the Fed is not taking advantage of this, start singing a different tune.
So, Mike, taking this inflation data and really what I think a number of people were expecting, higher inflation, who knows how it's here for, but or how long it's here for, but fact of the matter is it's here right now. What markets do you see that impacting? Because on the back of that inflation data, we saw red almost across the board outside of the U.S. dollar and oil that was up that day.
We've talked a little bit about, I mean, kind of the term that I've heard thrown around, and I think it's actually pretty accurate, is the everything bubble. More to the point, the everything bubble in assets. We've seen enormous appreciation in assets of all kinds. I mean, I ran them off earlier, but, you know, stocks, risky bonds, real estate, both in the U.S. and Canada. And abroad, you go down the list, all kinds of collectibles, artwork, sports cards. I mean, you know, I'm a New England Patriots fan, and Tom Brady's, one of his cards just sold for more than $2 million. It was like a record price. But you're seeing that across the board. It's not just a few examples. When you have assets, wealth wildly inflated by so much easy money, anything that comes along can upset the car, which is why you saw a little bit of a market reaction where it wasn't just bonds selling off. It wasn't just stocks selling off. It was both. Plus, to some degree, you know, even a little bit in precious metals, which tend to be theoretically a hedge. So, I think it's just a case that this turmoil is beginning to, you know, push me to the point where I want to take some money off the table. It's been a heck of a run. You do want to, you know, I've always been saying all along, as long as things are, that momentum is going, that money flood opportunity and environment is still working in your favor, and the markets are still shaking hands with policymakers, you don't want to fight it. You want to play along. You've seen enough in the last few days that it probably makes sense to lower, you know, take some risk off the table, step back a little bit. You know, you don't turn around and sell everything, but you do get a little more cautious because, again, if you, this mini tantrum in the bond market, if the Fed doesn't shift its tune and doesn't try and get ahead of it, that's going to be the kind of thing that is finally going to give us some real broad market volatility.
Yeah, it's been a pretty wild ride for the bond market just over the last week or two, really. And now, as we're recording this, yields continuing to rise, 10-year closing in on that 1.7%. So, Mike, just in summary, I guess you're not saying now is the time to go aggressively short on the markets, but you are seeing an opportunity here to maybe build a bit of a cash position just in case this weakness that we've seen in markets and also saw really on the back of this data broadly, there might be some more downside here, so potentially lower prices.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, you know, it's a market that's seen a remarkable amount of stability, volatility coming in. Everything's been working in the bull's way. But if you start to have, you know, signs that central banks are losing the narrative and they're not attempting to get in front of it, and the market's starting to rebel a little bit, that's when that's the kind of signal that you've been waiting for to look at maybe taking some off the table. And I think that clearly that's what you would be doing. You know, that's a reasonable step to take here. And it's worth pointing out too, that a lot of this super overbought garbage that I've been saying all year, you don't want to chase, you want to get the heck out of your portfolio and you want to rotate into safe money type stocks and other investments. That stuff's gotten absolutely decimated. You look at some of these SPACs, these space tourism type companies, these Reddit stocks, all these things that people were chasing in January and February, you know, stayed in that junk instead of put your money into safe money type investments. You've lost 50 or 60% of your money in just 2 or 3 months.
All right, Mike, let's wrap it up with one quick question regarding the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar up for the first 3 months of this year, down throughout April, and now in May, boy, oh boy, it's been a choppy ride, a roller coaster ride for the dollar. How are you seeing the dollar move as we progress through, let's just say, summer?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the dollar is really going to be dependent on what the Fed does here. Are they going to take advantage of these market signals, this market data, telling them they need to change their narrative, maybe suggest or pull forward the dates in the future when they think they might have to start hiking interest rates, maybe, you know, look to dial down QE a little bit earlier and so on. If they start changing their messaging to being like, all right, look, we kind of got it wrong, we're admitting it, we're going to now shift our approach a little bit, that would tend to be a positive for the dollar, and we'd love to see the rebound. If the Fed continues to try and just basically lie to everyone and pretend there's no problem out there and pretend when they're wrong and not try and, you know, get ahead and recapture the narrative from the markets, then you're going to see problems. You're going to likely see the dollar sell off, bond sell off, and stock sell off too. And that's really a combination nobody wants to see. So I think we're going to have to see in the next several days, couple of weeks, whether or not the Fed's narrative starts to shift. If it does, I think that's ultimately beneficial for the dollar. If it doesn't, then, you know, you could see things get pretty ugly pretty quick.
All right, Mike, good chatting with you. Thanks for kicking off this weekend show. And boy, oh boy, inflation, it was on everybody's mind, but this week definitely hit the forefront as we got that data that did finally extremely surprise to the upside. We'll see how that all plays into the markets as we progress through this month and into next month's data and see what the Fed has to say. Mike, thanks again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.